All right, I hope you guys had a great lunch and are being blessed here. It's been a real blessing for me to be here with you this weekend. I'm just going to be sharing actually from one of our classes that we teach at our church. It's 201 in terms of, we have membership as 101, and this class, Formations, is our second class. And basically what it is teaching our church how to exercise the spiritual disciplines. And I remember when this was introduced to me in seminary, I was so mad because, you know, they told me I had to take this class on the disciplines, and basically it was how to do Bible study, how to pray, you know, how to engage with God. And the reason why I think the seminary I went to decided to make this a mandatory class was that they realized that some pastors were not able to function in these areas, that they were not holding consistent quiet times in their own walk. And, you know, if, you know, that's the case for, you know, leaders in the church, I imagine that this is a problem probably all the way, you know, down. And, you know, having run this class at our church, I realized that this is, though it's fundamental, it's also very important to understand what we're doing when we're doing our quiet times and what we're trying to get out of it. And so the catchword these days is spiritual formation. That's what, you know, the big buzzword among Christian leaders are. And what spiritual formation is this. It's the process in which the Holy Spirit transforms our inner being in such a way that it becomes like the inner being of Christ himself. And so this gives you an understanding of what you are trying to do long term with your quiet times. And, you know, I think a lot of times as Christians, we don't even know why we're doing what we're doing, right? We've been taught that we need to read the Bible. We've been taught that we need to pray. We've been taught to do all of these things, to fast and you know, what have you. But we're never clearly instructed on what's the end goal, what's the purpose of it. And I would say that this is the definitive end goal, that Christ would be formed within you, within the inner being of who you are. And you know, what's the biblical basis for that? Well, look at Colossians 1:27. The riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20, which is one of my favorite. I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And my personal favorite from the Apostle Paul, and which colors the way, you know, I think about ministry and you know, what we're trying to do with our churches. He says, "My children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you." You know, that's what drove Paul's ministry to the churches. Why he wept for them? Why he preached as hard as he did? Why he risked his life so that the people that were growing underneath him would have Christ deeply formed in them. And, you know, there is nothing greater than that, right? That's something we need to sell ourselves out on. You know, this is why I am a Christian. This is my hope for glory, that Christ would increase in my heart and my being. And as that happens, there's wonderful things that transpire. This is essentially what begins to happen. You move from brokenness to wholeness. Right, we talk about healing, you know, quite a bit in our churches, but that is a long and arduous process, and it comes through many avenues, through inner healing, through counseling. But I also believe the spiritual disciplines also augments and helps us move in this direction, from defensiveness to approachability, from low self-awareness to high self-awareness, from blame to taking responsibility, from living out of fear to being courageous, self-centered to other-centered, addiction and slavery to sin, to freedom, anxiety, to peace. So all these wonderful things that we're looking for on the right side comes, you know, as we, you know, sit under good preaching, as we learn how to read the scriptures, how we fellowship. And so you can see a broader picture of how God ultimately is working and moving in you. And, you know, what is then involved in spiritual formation? Well, spiritual transformation happens only, okay, as each essential dimension of your being is transformed to Christ's likeness under the power of the Holy Spirit and interaction with the love and the grace of God. Okay. That's important for us to understand. There are essential components to who you are as a being. And each of those things ultimately have to be in contact with the Spirit of God and with the love and the grace of God. And, you know, what are some of the components of who you are? Well, one, you are a spiritual being. Okay, and I think that's very important. A lot of churches, obviously, we focus on that component, right? The spiritual aspect of who you are. But that's not just who you are either, because there's also a relational component to you. And, you know, the reason why we stress things like fellowship. You know, when a church is connected well, and there's great friendship, authentic friendship, what automatically happens is people begin to heal relationally, right? The relational trauma that I talked about in the morning, those things begin to heal within the context of a healthy church. Peter Scazzaro calls it reparenting even, right? If you are from a broken home, well, a healthy church allows you to heal and recover from that so that you can go back to your family of origin and help that family heal as well. And so you're built relationally. You're also built intellectually. And I think this is kind of the way I'm wired. You know, I love, you know, studying. I love, you know, getting into theological debates. The intellect is one of the things that has to be transformed, because there's so many different worldviews out there. Right? There's so many paradigms of how to think about the world. And so intellectually, we need to be changed, obviously, emotionally, and even physically. Right? Physically, we're physical beings. And so, again, you know, we don't talk about it too much within the church context, but there is such a deep connection between how we feel spiritually, how we feel emotionally, to how we ultimately are doing physically as well. And, you know, our mission teams, we all, you know, we ask them to exercise regularly so that they could actually be of benefit when they're out there. Because, you know, when you're tired, you know, how do you receive and serve the way that you were meant to? And so as we think about that, there are these elements of our human nature, our thoughts, okay? So concepts, judgments, inference. There's our feelings, sensations, emotions. Our heart, this is the center of our will, right? Choice, decision. Our bodies, meaning our behavior, interaction with the physical world, social context. And the thing that integrates all of that together biblically is the soul, and integrates, you know, every aspect of who we are. And so, you know, as we're thinking about spiritual formation, basically what we're doing is trying to make a person that is whole. There, we call it integrity, the integration of all of these parts, so that you are as whole as you can, so that ultimately what you can do is fulfill the great commandment, okay? I mean, that's where we're ultimately getting to. Luke 10:27, we all know this well. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And essentially, you know, what Jesus and the scriptures are teaching us is that the pursuit of God is a holistic thing, right? It's not just one aspect of who you are. It's this entirety of who you are that needs to pursue God, to love Him as completely, as wholly as possible. And that's essentially, you know, what we are trying to do with, you know, not only, you know, the basic spiritual disciplines that we all know about, but even attendance to church, corporate worship, fellowship, you know, all that ties into this. We do all of those things within the life of the church so that all of us become better at this. And this is something, obviously, we will never be able to attain to perfectly in this life. Now, what is not involved in spiritual formation, which is just as important? Such transformation, this is Dallas Willard, is not the result of mere human effort and cannot be accomplished simply by putting more pressure on the will alone. Religious based solely on willpower creates more evil than good. Some of us are probably from churches where doing quiet times became a very regimented thing that had to be done. Otherwise, you are like the worst of Christians. And so there was this, a lot of negative pressure that was placed on you to do these things without you even understanding why you needed to do them, not getting much benefit out of it, but you knew that it was a habit that you needed to make. And essentially what that produces within the life of the church is, you know, the L word, legalists, right? And if there's one group of Christians that Jesus was, or one group of religious people that Jesus was hardest on, was the legalists, right? People who used religion based on willpower alone, right? You know, I'm going to push through this. I'm going to use my strength, my own will to do this. And spiritual transformation simply does not happen that way. The heart, the inner core of who we are, cannot be changed simply by putting and applying more and more pressure on it. It turns ugly when we do that. And ultimately, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. Only He ultimately does the work of transformation. And so, what is our part in it? If God is the one who transforms, if it's the Holy Spirit that does the transforming, then what are we called to do? Well, this is where the spiritual disciplines comes in. I love what Richard Foster says. He says, spiritual disciplines opens the door for inner transformation. The disciplines themselves do not cause the growth, but they create the conditions by which growth can happen. Okay? That's what you're doing. You are creating the right fertile soil for God to be able to work there, right? Again, Foster, God has given us the disciplines of the spiritual life as a means of receiving His grace. I love that. A means of receiving the grace of God. And the disciplines allows us to place ourselves before God so that He can transform us. And, you know, this idea of planting and growing plants, I think it's a perfect image of what the spiritual disciplines do. When you are trying to grow a plant, what is it that you do? Well, you have to fertilize soil, right? You have to go and water it. And, unless you do those things, things don't grow. But you have actually very little control of whether your plant grows or not. Right? Depends on the sun, the rain, you know, all of these different factors. But unless you do your homework, that growth cannot happen. And I think that's a great way to think about the disciplines, right? It's you doing your part, getting the soil ready, getting things ready so that when the rains do come, right, when the Lord shines upon that, you can actually grow. There's actually this amazing plant. Now, for those of you who are saying to me, you know what? You know, I've been doing my quiet times for years and years, and I just don't feel like I'm growing. And, you know, there's this amazing plant in Japan. It's a type of bamboo, a species of bamboo, that it takes actually 5 years of tilling the ground. And once you plant the seed, you have to water it for 5 years precisely, but you don't see it, actually. You don't see it grow above ground until the fifth year. But in the fifth year, what's amazing is that once it breaks the ground, in a matter of 6 weeks, it grows to 40 feet, right? It's amazing, right? And for some, it's like that, right? For some people, growth is like that. You till the ground, you water it faithfully, you don't see anything. But in a season, you see this amazing growth. For some, it's more steady, right? But, you know, for those who feel like, you know what, I haven't seen it, I would say remain disciplined, right? Continue to do the work because you never know, right? You never know when God's going to give that increase and help you to grow. And, you know, as we think about the disciplines, obviously, you know, the scriptures are where we are to ground ourselves, right? The discipline reading of the scriptures. I'll talk a lot more about that tonight. But we do know, you know, why we have the scriptures. And, you know, when we look at, you know, say, Psalm 19, 7 through 14, right? Why don't we turn there real quick. I know it's after lunch, so let's try to make it a little more interactive. You know, someone read it we don't have to read it, but once you read it for yourself, give me some benefits to the Word of God in your life as we read Psalm 19. What does it do for us, or what is it supposed to do for us? Revives the soul. Revives the soul. Amen, right? Okay, that's one function. Anything else that you read there?
Makes us wise.
Makes us wise, okay. All right. Anything else that you guys read there? It brings joy, okay? But I mean, there are so many benefits to the study, the meditation, and the reading of the Word of God. And, you know, as, you know, we look at what it says in Hebrews and in Jeremiah, we can see that it attests to itself to what it can do. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts, intentions of the heart. It matures you within. Jeremiah 31, 33, I will put the law within me. I will write them in my heart and in their hearts. And, you know, this is God's promise for us, right? That His words would be planted deep within us. And that when they are planted there, they don't return void. Right? And that's something we have to believe. The Word of God does not return back to God void. It will accomplish its work, but we have to have faith in that and not become so cynical or jaded about it. And the great picture that I think illustrates this is through the Word and the Spirit, what happens is the Scriptures, as we read them, as we meditate on them, they reach the heart. Okay, that's what it was meant to do. Right? That's what Hebrews talks about. Cutting down to the bone and marrow, dividing between, you know, the spirit and soul. And so it's talking about reaching the inner core of who we are. And I think this is where, as believers, we have a hard time. We don't feel like the Word of God is penetrating that deeply. We don't feel like it's getting down to the heart. You know, I've, you know, met so many Christians tell me, you know what, I get nothing out of my quiet times. I get nothing out of the reading of the Word. It's not penetrating deeply. And that's what the disciplines were meant to help you to do, so that this happens, because as the Word of God penetrates to the heart, then it begins to bear fruit in your mind, right? Then to your actions. So when we talk about your body, we're talking about your physical actions. From there, it begins to change your relationships socially, and ultimately, your soul is revived through it, right? And so it's that work. When it says Psalm 19, it revives the soul. It's that work going in and then going outwards from there. And, you know, as I was saying, you know, this is where so many of us get stuck. It never goes in, right? It never penetrates deep enough so that, you know, the various areas of our lives that it should impact, it doesn't do that work. And the hope is that through this, through your quiet times, this would begin to happen more and more. The best way to activate the Word of God into your life is through the practice of the spiritual disciplines in the context of a regular quiet time. Okay? This is the only way, right? If there was a shortcut, if there was an easier way, I would tell you, because as much as you may not like regular quiet times, I too, for many, many years, did not like regular quiet time. It was the bane of my existence. I'm not a regimented guy, right? I don't like routine. And so it was hard for me in my 20s when I first became a Christian, even into my late 30s. It was very difficult for me to keep regular quiet times, although, you know, I tried as best as I could. But because I continued to press in, ultimately, it did become regular, and, you know, I've, you know, been able to see the fruit of it in, you know, in the last 10 years or so. What is a quiet time? So, you know, I think this will tell you what you're trying to do, you know, as you enter in. Quiet time is simply a time where we desire to meet with the living God and to be in His presence, okay? That has to be at the forefront of your mind, right? This is not just, you know, reading time. It's not just, you know, time to, you know, center yourself. It's not a yoga meditation. It is time to meet with the living God, to be in the depth of His presence. And, you know, this is the believer's right and our privilege. Amen? Right? This is our right to enter into the Holy of Holies daily. And we should not forsake that. Now, why do you need it? Well, you need to do quiet times because we naturally have a tendency to avoid and to resist God, okay? When you are honest with yourself and you ask yourself, self, or as the scriptures say, soul, why am I not doing my quiet times? I think the soul would say, because you're trying to avoid God, right? You are trying to resist something that he is trying to do in you. And that's where Adam and Eve began, didn't they? Right? You know, once they sinned, what did they do? They began to hide from God. Now, when you look at Genesis, it's pretty obvious that they had a daily time where they walked with God, right? And it says, in the cool of the evening, right, God would come down. They would walk together in the Garden of Eden. But as soon as they sinned, right, they hid themselves from that walk with God. And God had to go and find them. And that's exactly why we do the same thing, right? We avoid our QTs because there's something, you know, it's not just laziness, right? And I think that's something most of us will say as an excuse. I'm just being lazy. You know, I'm not being regimented. But I think it's deeper than that. I think there is something that we are trying to avoid, something that we are trying to resist. And so it's important to get down to the bottom of that. Now, when is it that I should do my quiet times? Well, it's best to choose a time in your daily schedule that is consistently free of distractions. You know, I know that most people say the morning time is the best, okay? But that's not a hard and fast rule. Some people are morning people, some people are not, right? I am not. It was hard for me to do a good morning devotional. It's only when I had kids I realized that's the only time and space during the waking hours that I can do anything. And so I began to do it in the morning. But I realized college students, you know, sometimes it's late at night. And I would say, do it then, right? If that's when you are the most alert, when you're, you know, most willing to get into God's presence, do it then. But find a regular, consistent time to do it. Because that will, you know, ultimately bring a good habit in your life. Now, where you do it is as important. And so it's helpful to create a designated area that can become a holy place for you to meet with God. Everywhere that I've gone in terms of living arrangements, I've found a place where I consider that to be my sacred holy place. It helps. It helps me to get in the mood, actually. So first apartment in San Francisco when we moved up, we had a great walk-in closet. I use that as my holy place. I would just go in that closet, and that's where I would do my quiet times, hidden away from my children, right? I had to hide from them. They could not find me there, and, you know, it was like my sanctuary. And so you also need to find a place like that. It doesn't need to be in your house. It could be, you know, at the beach. You know, I remember the cliffs here in San Diego, beautiful place to do your quiet times. Take advantage of that while you still are living here. You know, that's a wonderful time, at least, you know, once, twice a week to go out there and to, you know, reflect on who God is, the beauty of all that he's made. And so designate something as, you know, this is holy ground for me. Right? This is my sanctuary, you know, whatever and wherever that is for you. Now, how is it that I do my quiet times? Well, through the practice of the inner disciplines. And so there's many spiritual disciplines, but let me give you five. I think these are the ones that we generally do in AMI on a regular cadence. So solitude, okay? Solitude is one. Study, meditation, prayer, and fasting. And we'll go through each of these very, very quickly, okay? So solitude. Solitude is being alone on purpose, okay? Setting yourself up in a time where you are by yourself. And it's for this purpose, for personal growth, as well as accomplishment, okay? Think about this. Is there anything in your life, you know, when you're trying to accomplish that doesn't require some time by yourself, right? If you're thinking of, you know, a career pursuit or study, you have to spend time on your own. And when you think about spiritual growth, right, that same principle applies to spiritual growth. If it is something you want to accomplish, then it's something that you need to set a time for by yourself to focus on it, to really put your energy into it. Spiritual growth will not happen unless you actually set that solitude time apart.
Solitude is being alone for personal renewal as well as refreshment. It's being alone to be with God, okay, not to be away from your children, which sometimes I do. Solitude is being alone to enhance our other relations. And I think that part is important. For me, being alone helps me to relate with other people. I'm by nature an introvert, so being with people, it drains me. And without this, I can become a very grumpy person, actually, especially to my wife and to my children. And Mira knows when I haven't done my quiet time, and she'll say something like, you know, you're so grumpy, you need to go do your quiet time right now. She knows exactly when I have not spent time enough in God's presence. And you'll see that. You'll see that shift, that as you spend more time on your own with God, your relationships with other people actually begin to get enhanced. You're far more patient with them. You're far more loving. You're far more caring with them as well. Why? Because God's filled you, right? You've had time to be filled by Him so that now you can give out. There's something for you to give out. And so incredibly important in, you know, our daily interactions. Now, how do you prepare for solitude? Okay. First, you have to get away from people. Okay. Absolutely. You have to put, you know, strict boundaries around and to say, you know what? I will not meet with anyone at this time. You also have to get away from your responsibilities, right? No emails, nothing from your job, not worrying about your school. Get away from all those responsibilities that can take your mind away. I would say the third is to get away from entertainment. And, you know, the phone has become that for many of us, right? And so leave your phone behind. Don't take your iPad. And I think this is one of the dangers here in our generation. We take our phones to do our quiet time, and then a notification comes up, and suddenly there's a responsibility, or, you know, ESPN, for me it's ESPN, right? Like, you know, so-and-so got traded, and suddenly my mind is diverted. But there is one thing where no notification will ever come, and it's a hard copy of the Bible. Amen? Right? I might be old school, but this is what I use to still do my quiet times, because it doesn't distract me, right? Unless it's God, right? The only thing that will distract me from this is God Himself, which is no distraction at all. And so get in the habit of carrying a physical copy of your Bible into your quiet time. I think it's okay in church, but when it comes to doing your QTs, a hard copy of the scriptures is always more, you know, I think it's far less distracting than, you know, all the other ways of reading the Bible. Now, study. The goal of Bible study is this, to discern God's message, to be able to apply God's message into our lives, and to avoid or dispel misconceptions or erroneous conclusions about God. I wanted to do an exercise here really quickly before we move on. I don't want to just talk at you for an hour. I don't know how you do your Bible study, but here we're talking devotional study. Right. And so, you know, not with commentaries or, you know, all these other things, but simply you and the scriptures and diving into it for your devotional benefit. And the way that I read the scriptures is this. I'll start reading. And then when I feel like God is asking me to stop, meaning the Holy Spirit highlights, you know, something that resonates within my heart. And, you know, I feel like this is where God wants me to pause and to reflect. That's when I'll actually pause and think about what God is saying through that and what He is saying to me. And, you know, it's a good way of reading the scriptures, not for just information, but for transformation. You know, I learned this a long time ago, and I realized, you know, reading it that way, it takes a longer time to get through the Bible, and that's fine. There's other times when I'll just read it straight through and not worry about the devotional element of it. But in the mornings, at least, when I'm doing my quiet times, I do it for devotional sakes. And so I'll pick a certain part of the Bible where I know I'll be blessed, okay? There's other Bibles, other sections of the Bible I know I'll be less blessed, right? So I don't do, like, Numbers, for example, for my morning devotions. Okay, that's a good-hearted laugh there, right? Yeah, why? Because, you know, I know, I mean, it's hard to say this, but I know I'm not going to get super blessed out of it, right? I've read it enough times. I know what's in there. And you can only read numbers, you know, for so long before, like, you know what? I'm not that blessed, Lord. I need to move on to something else. And so I will pick books that I know I'll be blessed. And generally where I do my morning devotions for probably about half the year is actually in the book of Psalms. I'll go to the book of Psalms and I'll read until something hits my heart, and then I'll pause and I'll reflect on that thought for a few moments. And so I wanted to do that, but let me go to meditation really quickly here, because those two are tied together. Christian meditation, the ability to hear God's voice and obey His word. Foster, again, what happens in meditation is that we create the emotional and spiritual space which allows Christ to construct an inner sanctuary in the heart. Okay, and so this is what you're going to be doing. You're going to read, get to a place where you feel like God's speaking to you, and then you're going to meditate on that, right? Because now you're hearing God's voice, and what He is ultimately saying is, how will you obey it, right? What will you do to obey it? And there you create that inner sanctuary. And so I'm gonna turn you to a very easy passage for you to get blessed out of. Let's do Psalm 119, right? Which is a study out of, you know, the scriptures itself. And I want all of you to read until you feel like, you know, there's a passage where God is speaking to you, and then sit for a few moments and meditate on it. How does God want you to respond to that? You know, that highlighted passage that's coming to your mind. And so let's crack open your phones and read through it. Psalm 119. It's a long passage. Hopefully you don't read all of it and not get blessed at all, right? I've never seen that happen, but, you know, it's possible. So, and I'll ask a few people to share, actually. You know, I'm always curious where people pause. Because, you know, people pause at many different places, you know, as they're reading this very long psalm. I give you guys like 7 minutes to get blessed and meditate deeply. Thank you.
All right, hopefully you guys have landed on, you know, a verse or a section which is, you know, moving in your heart. Is there anyone willing to share? Like, you know, maybe three people, because, you know, whenever we do this exercise, you know, everyone pauses somewhere else, because the word is active and living. It speaks to people in so many different ways. And so, anybody willing to share where you end up pausing and, you know, the passage where, you know, God's highlighting for you at this time? Wow, that's quick. Quick, quiet time. Wow, that's a beautiful application of, yeah, the second verse of this long psalm. So, I mean, you can see why it would take like a year sometimes to get through the psalms, because you can stop so frequently, especially if you're in the right place to receive the word. Anyone else? A couple more people. Yeah, Romy.
Verse 11.
Okay.
I have hidden your word in my heart. Hmm.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Again, a great verse, right? Especially to meditate on, right? And keeping it in so that we don't sin against him. Anyone else? One more person. Yep. Right there. Right. Yeah. God does the work. And so you could see in 5 minutes the richness that you can get out of these times. Right? If you can get this in 5 minutes, imagine 15, right? And spending that time. You know, we're going to be, you know, having free time after games. You know, what a wonderful opportunity for you to find a quiet area of the camp. And, you know, whether it's Psalm 119, whether it's another passage of the scriptures, to dive deep and to, you know, meditate on the scriptures. And again, if he can do this in, you know, just short amount of time in this very kind of superficial seminar, then, you know, what about when we go out and it's, you know, done with a very reflective, very intentional heart? I think God will honor that and really bless you in it. There are other types of meditation that I do want to talk about as well. There's meditation upon events of our time. And so for me, after I read the scriptures, I love to read the news. So I do that. And so I'll crack open, you know, fake news, real news, it's all in there, right? I'll start reading. Especially in this day and age, you do need to meditate and think deeply about what's happening in the world, right? And again, you don't know what's true or false anymore. And so how will you discern, you know, unless you're bringing it up to the Lord in meditation and thought and prayer ultimately. Meditation on God's creation. You know, the San Diego Cliffs example, right? Go out somewhere. I'll find a quiet place to do that. Meditation on your daily recollections. I think this is an important discipline for us. And I'll show you how to do it, how the ancients used to do it. Meaning, going through your day, thinking about your day, the things that you are to give to God, things that you are to receive from God. They call this palms down, palms up, something that the old monks, Christian monks, used to do. It's a great practice. And when you do it, for many, there's almost like a physical release. And what you do is in the morning, or, you know, whenever you feel like, you know, you need to spend some time in meditation and thought, is you put your palms down like this. So why don't you guys do that with me? Palms down. And it's a posture. This is a posture of letting go, right? And you're saying, these are the things, Lord, that I'm going to let go in my life. I let go of my anxiety.
I let go of my fears. I let go of my wounds. Whatever you feel like the Spirit is asking you to let go of, you do that. You don't have to do that. I do that, but you don't have to, right? But let's spend a few moments doing that. Can you do that? Right, here are the things, Lord, that I want to let go of, right, that I have no business holding on to, okay? And keep your palms down, you know, as a posture of that. And let's do that for a few moments here. And as you're giving things to the Lord, you begin to sense Him taking those things, and hopefully your burden lightens, okay? So let go, okay? And then what you do is you put your palms up like this. And palms up is a posture of receiving, right? You know, this is why when we worship, we do this or lift our hands. It's a posture to receive. And so ask the Lord the things that you want to receive. Lord, I want to receive more of your grace. I want to receive more of your love. I want to receive, I don't know, more financial support. Whatever you have need of, you know, ask the Lord. And you know, sense the presence beginning to fill your hands with that. All right, so let's pray that. Ask the Lord right now to give you these things that are needed. Amen, amen. So as you do all of this, you might think, you know what, that's a pretty in-depth prayer time or quiet time. This is all actually preparation for the key discipline, which is prayer. You know, one of the reasons why people have a hard time praying is they don't realize that it is the deepest and the highest work of the human spirit. And so a lot of people, they simply try to dive in without reflecting on the scriptures, without meditation, without, you know, any sort of thought. And they go right into the hardest of the spiritual disciplines, right? What is prayer? It is your communion, right? Your direct communion and communication with God. And it is not easy to enter into that, that quickly. And so essentially what you're doing is you're setting yourself up so that you can enter into a very rich time of prayer at that moment. And, you know, prayer is the means to direct communication with God. That's what we're trying to do. Most of us realize, you know, it's much easier to pray after you hear the word, right, after someone preaches. It's also the same way for your prayer life as well, your personal prayer life. You preach to yourself, essentially. You read, you meditate, you think, you reflect. And then you enter into prayer, and prayer becomes so much more richer, so much deeper than you could imagine. And this is what Foster says, deepest, highest work of the human spirit. All of these quotes are actually from Celebration of the Disciplines. It's a book that is kind of old-fashioned now, but it's still a classic, you know, one that I would recommend, you know, any Christian that is wrestling and struggling with their spiritual disciplines to read. Very quickly here, I think we have 5 minutes. Types of prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. We know ACTS, right? That's a way to remember it, the acronym. But there's a few others, intercession. And I would also put in there prayers of spiritual warfare. Sometimes you need to just go to battle, right? You know, there's, you know, a lot of warfare going around your life. And that's not a time to say niceties, right? It's time to war, right? It's time to bind and to cast out and to, dismantle the work of the enemy. And so there will be seasons where you need to get into warfare prayer. I wish my wife was here. I mean, she would be able to teach a lot on warfare. She does that quite a bit. I remember one time she was, you know, getting ready to pray, and she said, you know what? I hate the devil. I'm going to kick his ass. She actually said ass, right? And then she went into prayer. You know, sometimes we need to have that attitude, don't we, right? You know, we need to kick his ass, and we're going to take it to the Lord in prayer, all right? So prepare yourselves for prayer. And, you know, all of these things are preparation for that. Finally, fasting. The main purpose of fasting is to refocus on God as the center of all that we desire. The secondary purpose is to reveal everything else that controls us. Generally, I consider fasting, you know, kind of the last resort. When I'm in a very dry place, when, you know, I feel like I'm running out of steam in all my other quiet times, generally fasting makes me desperate enough to really dive back into meditation, back into the scriptures, back into the presence of God. And, you know, the way it does, it is you get really hungry, right? You know, your body physically feels a need. And so instead of directing that to, you know, physically filling myself, you channel it to getting the spiritual feeding. And, you know, fasting is meant to actually augment the other disciplines to help you to grow in them. And, you know, there are other reasons for it, but in my own personal life, I've seen fasting do that for me. And so, you know, this is the way that you actually begin to grow over the years. Reasons for fasting: increase the power of prayer, a symbol of repentance, to identify with those who suffer, to gain spiritual insight, to show humility, grow in dependence on God. And, you know, as you get disciplined in, you know, these inner spiritual disciplines, what you will see is that over the years, not only will God change you, and He will, but you also see that God will heal you in relation, you know, to all these things. And tonight, you know, as we you know, get into our evening session, you know, I'll talk about how God's been speaking to me through the scriptures. It's tremendous what God does through very obscure parts of the Bible, but God brings healing through so many different aspects of the scriptures. And as we pray that through, there's incredible transformation that happens in our lives. Things that you could not believe are possible. Okay. Actually, one thing really quickly here. I think this is you know, something that will help you guys as you think about your quiet times. These are the dynamics of quiet times. Okay. Random versus regular. Most of us are probably random at this point. Okay. Meaning you don't know when it's going to happen. Like, it's like the wind, right? You have no idea when your next quiet time is. That's fine, right? God will still honor that as long as somewhere in the back of your mind you're thinking, you know what, I need to do it. And if nothing else, if this is put that into your mind that, you know what, I need to start doing this again. You know, I hope it stirs something. But ultimately, you want to get to regular, right? You want to get to a regular cadence. Second, desert versus devotion. Many times we go through a desert time, okay? That's inevitable, right? You have to weather that. Every single person goes through desert seasons where God doesn't seem to speak very loudly or very clearly. But eventually, you'll get to a devotional time, meaning it'll be rich, and God will meet you. And then there's content versus contemplative. For some, you know, you'll get into that place where it's just information to you, right? You know, as you read, you know, as you think, it's just a lot of information. Where you ultimately want to get to is the place where you begin to contemplate on these things, to become a contemplative person, to think richly and deeply about these things so that it begins to bless your heart and your soul, right? Information is not going to change you. What ultimately has to happen is that that information that you read has to begin to bless your heart, right? It has to bless you deep within. And that's what you ultimately have to get to. And so, you know, my prayer for you is that this would happen, that you would all start moving over to the right side of these dynamics through His Spirit. So we'll end there. There's a lot more, but we will actually end there since it's time and it is game time for you. Any questions before I close in prayer? This is actually like a 2.5 hour class. Did it in 45 minutes. There's half of it left. If you want the PowerPoints, I will send it to Pastor Peter, and he can send it out to the rest of you. Okay, why don't I pray, and we'll get to the next part. Father, we thank you, Lord, for just the richness, Lord God, of being in your presence, Lord. And you've built these habits for us, Lord God, to grow in so that we might spend regular time with you, Lord, daily for hopefully for many of us, Lord God. But even if it's random, Lord, we know that your grace, Lord God, still calls us in. And so we pray, Father, that the fruit of this retreat, Lord God, and the fruit of this church, Lord God, would be men and women, Lord, who are changed by your Spirit, Lord God, as they spend time deeply in your presence. Lord, we thank you, and we lift this afternoon up to you. We pray that we would spend it well, Lord God, within your presence and in the fellowship of one another, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.